China right now that maybe half of the population that move around right now, or by the train, everything. So very crowded, very, very challenging time. You know, I advise you don't travel in China right now. It's very challenging, very difficult. But that shows it's a time for people to come together. Well, as I shared this past Friday night, you know, according to the calendar, Chinese calendar, it's a year of monkey. Well, I don't feel satisfied with that. I don't think it's not a year of monkey. And I look at God's calendar, this is the year of Jubilee. Amen? How many of you know what the year of Jubilee means? Okay, let me explain to you very briefly. You know, every seventh year, according to Mosaic law, every seventh year, the land needs to take a break. It's called Sabbath year. And that every seventh sabbatical year is 49th years. And the year after that is the 50th years. It's the year of Jubilee. So how many of you, what will happen in the year of Jubilee? I shared that last Friday. That's canceled. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you in debt right now? Well, according to the God's law, it's supposed your debt will be canceled, okay? And a slave will become a free man. That's a big thing. In those days, there were so many slaves. How many of you are slave here? Raise your hands. How many of you are slave? Not including Jesus. You're slave to anything, raise your hands. This is the year you'll be free. It's according to God's promise. Amen. Also, how many of you already have house closure? Okay, now that's good. Foreclosure. Sorry, not foreclosure. According to the Leviticus, if you have your ancestors' inheritance, land or houses being taken away, in that year, you can get back free. Isn't that a wonderful year? Well, I think we only can apply in spiritual sense nowadays because this country is not live according to the God's law right now. But the point is, this is a year of Jubilee. This is a year of breakthrough. Amen? Amen. I don't think I need to make you excited. You should be excited by now. But actually, this year, according to God's calendar, it starts on September 22nd, 2015. So we already in the year of Jubilee. So how many of you already experienced breakthrough already? Breakthrough in any way? How many want to have breakthrough? Particularly the financial breakthrough. This is the year. Amen? So I will say, how about I pray for all of you right now? Can you arise and pray over you? They say the senior pastor does have the spiritual authority and blessing. If you receive that, the Lord will grant you the breakthrough. Father, I just pray you come. You grant us breakthrough. It starts with our spirit and our heart. Lord, we need you. This is the year of Jubilee. The year of rest, year of death will be canceled. The year will be healed and delivered. We just pray you come even right now, Holy Spirit, you come to minister to us. In Jesus' name, amen. My title today is Arise, Shine, Part 3, New Year, New Birth, New Life. I already covered the New Year part. Now I'm going to cover the New Birth and New Life. There's a kingdom promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Usually, this is the sermon scripture I use every time for the baptismal service. But I want to ask you about this. Does this only for the person who just been baptized? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is a new creation? Are you a new creation? You know, according to Chinese custom, they have a lot of meaning. On the New Year Eve, they need to do a lot of things. They need to clean the whole houses. Wash away everything, the dirty thing. They remove that because they are ready for the new year day, a new beginning. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, new creature. It's a new. What kind of newness? Is the old has gone, the new has come. I think you're going to have a new identity. You're going to have new life. You're going to have new habit. Is that wonderful? It depends, though. How many people love to change? How many people enjoy change? Nobody. Really, no one like change. Because, okay, there's one. It's very unusual. I want to ask you why we don't like change. You like other people change. Okay, I understand that. But we don't come to that part. We just say why we don't like we ourselves to be changed. Huh? Afraid, fear. Okay. Okay, extra work. I like that extra. I don't like extra. I have too much work. Actually, it's very, you lead you out of your comfort zone. Amen? Let's say right now our worship service is 9:30 a.m. every Sunday. Then we change to 11. Maybe to some people it's okay, a little bit later, but still, right? Cause confusion. But only confusion to you. Right? From our perspective. But if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Sometimes this is a very bad news for some people. Because it caused a totally change. Amen? For my son and Marisa to come, I really admire them. For the younger generation, most of the church, they just have Saturday night evening service. You know, you want to stay out as late as you want. That's okay. Who will come to the church on Sunday morning, 9:30? For the younger generation, it's challenging. Well, you are here. That's called a change. But here, this promise is for anyone. If anyone is in Christ, so it doesn't matter your gender, your race, your culture. If you desire the change, you want it, then this transformation starts. But the key is anyone is in Christ. Last Sunday, the Pastor Terry shared about that, right? Christ in you. The hope of glory. The thing is, we need to have Christ in you, in us, right? May I ask you, do you have a Christ in you? Of course you have. Right now, the question is, how much of Christ in us? Amen? But today, I will talk about the beginning, the new birth. So, I want you to look at the kingdom mystery. When the promise here, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The new creation, the old has gone, the new has come. If we come to the world religion's view, they say, okay, we have to do something, right? If anyone is in Christ, we have to do something so we become a new creation. Is that right? With any religion, the world major religion, you say by what? By good works. It doesn't matter. You are Islam, Judaism, Confucianism, Taoism, that's philosophy, Buddhism, it's all by good works. But Christianity is by whose work? Still have good work, but not your good work, right? I share with some Buddhists. I say, as a Buddhist, how can you be saved or how can you have peace with God? He say, you just do good works. I say, until when? He say, we don't know either. You do your best. Do as much as you can. Hopefully, you get there. Isn't that risky? I will do the good works as much as I can, you know, my whole life. Hopefully, I can reach there. But here, we as a believer, God provides something through Christ. Is that right? How do you know you're saved? Ephesians chapter 2, is by faith, is by grace, through faith in what Jesus had done, right? I listened to Many of you pray to Jesus, pray to God this morning. You know, you thank him for his redemptive work. He has done something for you and me. That's remembered through this Holy Communion. Is that right? What Jesus had done for us. We're supposed to die, right? The wage of sin is death. We sin, so we should die. But the death is not just physical only, it's also spiritual, right? It's a forever separation from God. And Jesus died in our place so we can be changed, redeemed with a new identity. The child of God, at peace with God. So that's the thing he has done. And I call this a kingdom mystery, because how can that be? I supposed to die, that's fair, and someone died for me, and then I can be spared. So I call that kingdom mystery. And I like to invite you to look at kingdom teaching. I'd like to invite all of you, we read the scripture together. It's pretty long, but I think it's worthwhile to read it. John chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. I will let all arise and read together so you won't fall asleep. Okay, let's start. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council.
He came
to Jesus and said, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. Of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh give birth to flesh, but the Spirit give birth to the Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still your people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We need your enlightenment. Even though we feel we're so familiar with the scriptures, but we need the reality in this scripture. Come to our life in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We'd like to learn the kingdom teaching here about the new birth and new life. Dear brother and sister, this is a very important truth. There are so many people attend church right now in the United States. They attend for their whole life. But they never be really born again. How do you know you're born again? How do you know you have Jesus in your life? If you have it, you know it. Amen? You cannot say, I'm not too sure. I talk with people and say, have you been born again? They say, I have been attending the church for 20 years. Have you been born again? I have been deacon for 10 years. I say, you didn't answer my questions, right? And here we learn together. There's a Pharisee, a religious leader, a leader among Jews. He came to Jesus at night. He admired Jesus so much. He said, Rabbi, he said, teacher, you must come from the Lord. You must have God's presence. Otherwise, you cannot do what you are doing. So may I ask you, what have Jesus done among people? The blind can see. The cripple can walk. If Jesus walked among us today, will you be impressed with him? I will rush to him. I want him to heal me. I have a high cholesterol. Right? How many of you need physical healing? I think the whole congregation will rush to Jesus if he's here, right? So Nicodemus was very impressed with Jesus. This man was really a truth seeker. He really wanted to know what the truth. So he asked Jesus, but he just commented on Jesus. May I ask you, why did he go to see Jesus at night? Bible scholars argue about this. Why Nicodemus went to see Jesus at night? I'll say, oh, Jesus is very busy in the daytime. Nicodemus is very busy in the daytime, so they only meet at night. But one possible explanation, he dared not to go to see Jesus in the daytime. Because Pharisees was Jesus' enemy, right? You read the gospel, you know that. They tried to find any fault with Jesus. So he went to see Jesus, and Jesus was very straightforward. What did Jesus respond? Jesus said, truly, truly, I tell you, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Dear brother and sister, can you see the kingdom of God? What does that mean? Can you see the move of the Lord today in your life? Can you understand why you are here in the United States? Why you are doing what you're doing right now? Nicodemus cannot. That's why he thought, I think you came from the Lord. You came from God. You know, have supernatural power. I want to find out more. But Jesus actually is the Son of God. So Nicodemus said, how can this be? I'm so old. How can I go back to my mother's womb? I think he asked very legit questions, right? So what is a born again? So he thought, to be born twice. Where were you born from? Where you came from? From your mother's womb. Everybody. Amen? So born again means you go back to your mother's womb. And that's exactly the problem with many people today. They thought a born again is religious thing. And Jesus started to explain to him, right? Unless you're born out of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Dear brother and sister, you cannot understand the move of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be part of the move of the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. Amen? And Jesus said, the flesh gives to the flesh and the Spirit gives to the Spirit. The source is very important. If we start with a religion, we'll end up with a religion. Amen? Religion is very happy. The younger generation worldwide, they don't like religion. That's why traditional church is empty. No younger generation. Amen? Nobody likes religion. Religion is man-made. And Jesus said, you need to be born again. You're born of the water and the Spirit. Water refers to the repentance. John the Baptist come, right? Repent. The kingdom of God is near. The baptism of John Baptist is the baptism of repentance, a change. May I ask you, what is repentance? I want to ask the younger generation, your teacher share with you all this time. What is repentance? I know you know the answer. Excellent. Actually, repentance is very simple. Repentance means change, right? I need a change. I come to the end of myself. I'm heading for the wrong direction. I want change. Repentance tells God, say, what I have done was wrong. I want a new start. So Jesus told Nicodemus, unless a person is born out of repentance and the Holy Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we see that, first of all, to be born again, to be born from the above, is absolutely necessary. That's the beginning point. I just shared gospel with someone recently. The person said, I've already been in the church. I know all this truth, but no one ever led me through this process. I say, this is called your illegal alien in the kingdom of God all these years. You understand that? It's a hot topic right now in the United States, right? Right now, right? There's so many illegal aliens. Illegal. A lot of people today, they are illegal aliens in the kingdom of God because they never receive Jesus as the Savior and the Lord to process that, right? Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? This is very important. And that's what Jesus shared with Nicodemus. So we see it's absolutely necessary. Secondly, not being born out of the flesh. Thirdly, being born out of water and spirit. And also, fourthly, is a new life with a new identity. That identity is your child of God. I don't have time to elaborate on that. So maybe you ask me, or someone will ask you, if you're going to share gospel with people, people say, how can I enter the kingdom of God legally? Amen? You can do this. And we see in the John chapter 3, it say here in the scripture, Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Jesus had done two things here. First of all, he declared God so loved the world to what extent that he gave his one and only son. So that's the provision there. And then he gave an invitation. He said, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So I want to ask you, what does that mean, whoever believe in Jesus? What does that mean? How can we believe in Jesus? Because if you want to share gospel with people, they will ask this question. Can you tell me what do you, how much you know? What does that mean, believe in Jesus? He's Son of God. What else? How does that relate to us? If somebody say, okay, I want to believe in Jesus, but can you tell me what does that mean, believe in Jesus? Okay, the answer is here. In the verse 14 to 15. Can Patrick, can go there? No, it's Gospel of John chapter 3.
Verse 14.
Okay, let's read together. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So here, Jesus gives a story about snake lifted up in the desert. Let's go there to read that story. Then that gives us answer. What does that mean to believe in Jesus? Okay, right now it's Deuteronomy, it's the Numbers, chapter 21. Okay, let's read. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water. Then the Lord sent a venomous snake. Many Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, we sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us. So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, take a snake and put it up on a pole. So Moses made a bronze snake. Let's stay here. So anyone who was bitten by a snake and look at the brown snake and hear, live. Is that interesting? Jesus said the Son of Man will be lifted up. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And Moses did that a few thousand years earlier. Those people be bitten by the snake. If they look up at the bronze snake on the cross, they will live. So believe in Jesus really means you believe what Jesus had done for you. Amen? Is that simple? But it's very hard. Amen? Because people say, how can it be that simple? May I ask you, this is very important. This is where the importance of the old message is. How can the people are dying, they lift out their head and look at the snake, and they live? Why? Because God promised so, right? Are you with me? I kind of sense you are not convinced. When I prepare this sermon, I feel, how can that be? That's a lot of people ask the same question. Jesus is just a man. How can he die on the cross to save the whole world? Think about what you believe. Isn't that hard to believe? Have you ever thought about that? Without the guidance and enlightenment of the Spirit, it's hard. That's exactly what Jesus said. As the Moses lived out the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man will be lived up, and those who believe in him will be safe, will have a new life. And that's why we have the Holy Communion here. I have to continue move on because the time is up. It's wonderful. We have a Holy Communion once a month. But some church, they celebrate every Sunday to remind them, to assure them, you are a child of God. Is that wonderful? We are a child of God? What are some benefits to be a child of God? You'll get a provision, right? I think of the scripture I didn't read earlier. Maybe we can read right now. Romans chapter 8. We talk about sonship. We can read together and for the Holy Communion. Romans chapter 8. So I didn't give you, right? It's verse 14 to 17. Okay, how about let's read together. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that make you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a very, very fundamental message, a scripture for all of us. To know we are child of God and live according to that. That's a reality. And this Holy Communion is assure you, if you have received Jesus as a Savior and the Lord, you've really been born again, you have that promise, the status, you are the child of God. I tell you, dear brother and sister, it's so good to be a child of God because you're no more to struggle to prove you are worthy. Amen? It's not easy. We all struggle every minute. We want people to respect us, right? Do we? That's a part of the needs for a human being. You need to be honored and respect. But the problem is, many times, most of the time, or quite often, we don't act the way we can be honored. Is that right? We try very hard. I realize, as a minister, as a pastor, I'll do the kingdom business. Sometimes the most challenging thing is the person who needs the most love is the one who is so unlovable. Is that right? Sounds a little bit harsh, but that's the reality. The person who needs to be honored sometimes, they don't act the way they can honor themselves. And that's where the love comes in. That's where God's love comes in. Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, he died when we will rebel against him. Not in the time we love him, right? It's after we receive him, we start to love him. Okay, I'd like to invite all of you who have received Jesus as Savior and the Lord, been born again, to baptize, come forward, take the bread and cup. I'd like to you to reflect one question. As a child of God, I have that title. Yeah, please, help yourself. You go back to your seat and stand there to think about the question I'm going to tell you. I just let you take the bread and cup first. You'll see that to give thanks for the bread and cup first. And think about as a child of God what you'd like to tell him. Meditate on the Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 17. I'll read unto you, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heir of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for Jesus' redemptive work. As we receive that, our life has been changed forever. Thank you, Jesus. May your Spirit lead us in this coming year, the year of Jubilee. You release us from the fear we are not worthy, fear we are still in the slavery. You break them. You help us today as we are about to take your Holy Communion to confirm this covenant between you and us through Jesus' redemptive work. Become child of God. Lord, we want that reality. Refer to Jesus' body being broken for each one of us through through his brokenness, we can become one, become whole. Let's take this breath with thankful heart. This precious cup referred to the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood, we can, our sins can be cleansed, so we can come to God without condemnation. Amen. It's so precious. Let's take this with a thankful heart. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We come to you with humility and brokenness. Tell you we need you. We have a lot of head knowledge, but we need a reality in our life. We just ask you, Lord, this year truly will be a year of jubilee. We'll be free from the slavery. Our deaths, our sins will be forgiven. We will truly receive the inheritance from you. Chinese New Year Eve, may you minister to us so we will live for you for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We conclude our worship here.